We are kicking off our fast 2014, and this year, we like to do this every year. We like to finish up the month of January. We usually go three weeks, and then we kick it off with our first week service in February, serving communion. That's kind of how we break the fast. And so we've done this for quite a number of years. This year, we called it Fast Forward. See, what we need to do, we can celebrate 2013. Maybe you had some great things happen. Maybe you had some not-so-great things happen. If you're like most of us, you had some good things and you had some bad things. But either way, we need to kind of close the door on 2013 and now fast forward to 2014, because I really believe that in these last days that we're living in, God is placing people, listen carefully, placing people where they need to be for the end time harvest. I really believe that with all my heart. I don't care how big, how small a ministry is, a church or whatever. I believe that God is putting a chemical makeup of people together in the house that they belong in to be able to be a part of an ingathering like we have never seen before. And so as we head into 2014, I think it's really important that we participate. If you consider Resurrection Life Church your home church, that you would consider really participating in this fast with us for the next 21 days. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said three things that all believers should do, and I want to look at those this morning. Matthew 6, verse 6, he said this, "But you, say me, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." One of the things that all Christians should do is to pray, and really the focus of fasting is to pray. And so Jesus is saying, if you'll pray in a secret place, God will reward you openly. Now, it's good to pray publicly, and we do that together, and we pray when we gather here together, and we have prayer meetings from time to time, and things like that. But the thing is, you personally will be rewarded more by your personal prayer time, getting in the secret place with Father God. And that's really what the fast is all about, is getting in that secret place, starting to train ourselves to hear the voice of God, all right? Look what it says in verse 16. He says, "Moreover, when you fast," notice he didn't say if you fast, he said when. Say when.
When.
I fast. "Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Excuse me. "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place." Notice Jesus says that again, that he's in the secret place. "And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, here's the thing. This fast is not something where you can say, "Well, I went 3 days with no food. I went 7 days with no food. That ain't nothing. I went 14 days with no food." That is not about puffing yourself up. It is not about really one-upping the next person. Fasting is about taking time to learn to hear the voice of the Lord and then living out of that fast zone, if you will. What we're doing really is we're making space for God to fill. We're making space for God to fill. Now, fasting should be eliminating some certain foods out of your diet, and we'll give you some different ideas of things that you can do. But listen, if all you're thinking about is how hungry you are, you ain't praying. If all you're doing is thinking, "Oh, I can't wait. I've been fasting so long. I wish breakfast would get here." I mean, if that's you, you're not going to benefit. All right? So I do believe eliminating some foods is extremely important. Perhaps going for a portion of the fast without food. Now, some of you have fasted for a while. Maybe you can go beyond that. But if you never fasted, listen, start out slow. Again, we are not trying to say, "Well, I went 21 days and I did this, and then at the end of the 22nd day, we go and we pig out." That is not a fast. That is just, I don't know what that is. That's stupid. We are learning to hear God's voice, taking these tools into 2014 and beyond, so that we can live a fasted lifestyle, so that we start to recognize the presence of God in our lives when he's speaking to us, and then maybe we overeat in an area, or we take a certain type of food that really is going to cloud us in some way. And you'll be able to tell, if you really take this serious and you fast away from some certain foods, you'll be able to tell when you start to eat something, you'll be like, "Oh boy, I felt that disconnect." Because you'll start to get to a place where you'll feel physically better, spiritually better, mentally better, and you're learning to hear the voice of God. And when you do this in secret, Father God will reward you openly. In verse 19, He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up, say lay up. Third thing that Jesus said was to give or to lay up treasures in heaven. He says, where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you this morning, have you lost the passion or the focus that you once had for the Lord? Is your heart settled in heaven? Are you minded on the things of God? Are you giving the way that you should in your time, your treasure, your talents? In all those areas, are you giving the way the Lord wants you to give? The Bible says when a man gives, let him purpose in his heart how he should give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's not just with money. It's with our life. God wants you to enjoy his presence. God wants you to enjoy your time with him. And then we're not going to read it, but Jesus goes on in that chapter, verses 25 through 34, and he goes on and he says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll put on. So really what Jesus is telling us, if we'll pray, if we'll fast, and if we'll lay up or give to the kingdom of heaven, we are going to eliminate so much worry out of our lives. Because I'll tell you, when I run into people that are worried about their life, and they just don't know how this is going to work out or how that's going to work out, and oh, pastor, I just don't know what I'm going to do, it's because we're not doing these three things the way that we should. And so again, we're not just fasting for 21 days. We are learning how to set aside space for God to fill. We're going to commit over the next 21 days to make time to pray. But not only for 21 days, we're going to pray throughout the year. We're going to make time to fast, not only for 21 days, but throughout the year. Again, we're making space for God, learning as a congregation how to hear the voice of God. A fast will also bring physical health benefits as well as spiritual. Really what we're doing is we're cleansing our body of toxins. And let me just say this. One thing that I think every one of us should do on a fast is just lay down the junk food. You don't need one more bag of Cheetos. Save it for the Super Bowl party. See, we break the fast on Super Bowl Sunday because I like the Super Bowl. So, but you know, I can't pig out that day because I'm like, oh. But save the bag of Cheetos or give them to me. I'll save them till Super Bowl Sunday. I promise I will. But laying down junk food, you might, somebody sitting here said, well, does that mean I can drink Diet Coke instead of regular Coke? Absolutely not. It's worse for you. It really is. Some people say, well, can I drink coffee? I've seen people that say absolutely no caffeine when you fast. And I understand that. And if that works good for you, that's fine. But listen, if you're just going to have a headache for 3 days and that's the extent of your fast, you didn't pray. Except, Lord, take this headache away. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you take this 21 days to wean yourself off Diet Coke. Maybe you take this 21 days to wean yourself off so much coffee. I said, boy, if you can cut down to maybe one cup in the morning and then the next day half a cup, and the next day a third of a cup, and somebody said, pot, you mean? I said, well, you know. I mean, no, you can overdo anything. And what we start to do when we start to wean ourselves off of junk food, when we start to wean ourselves off of things, maybe you're going to choose to not eat meat for the next 21 days. We've got some helps on our website. We've got some things at the information center that'll tell you how you can eat in a way that you can still get what you need, get the nourishment that you need, eating fruits and vegetables, different alternatives to protein other than meat. If you have some physical things, you're under the care of a physician, you need to check with them, all right? But every one of us can do something, and you got to find something that works for you. And usually a combination of things is what works. But one thing I think we should all do is to cut out junk food. What do I mean? I mean, that's kind of like, it's not even food. It's kind of like food-like material. I'm telling you, read the label sometime. I'm not making this stuff up. It's food-like stuff. But just get off some of that stuff and just start to honor God and start to eat in a different way. Here's the thing. How many have ever heard the term garbage in, garbage out? And so even beyond the physical aspect, the spiritual aspect is, what am I reading? What am I listening to? What am I watching on TV? What kind of video games am I playing? How often am I playing video games? I just got somebody mad at me. I know you're getting ready to leave. Said, don't be touching my video games. See, I think two things I think we should all do, junk food and entertainment. I'm not saying you can't have any entertainment if you want to watch the news or whatever. Maybe you say, okay, we're going to play a video game once a week, maybe Friday, for 2 hours maximum, and then we're done. Some of you got the shakes already. I know. But if we'll do that, Facebook, sure, lay Facebook down. Now, if you want to stay on Facebook, we are putting some helps on there. If you've got the Resurrection Life Facebook page, we're going to put scriptures on there every day, and we're going to list some things to pray about. Again, you can do this fast without that. We've got information at the table. We're recommending that everybody gets a Bible reading plan, again, that we have at the information table. That way, we're reading the scriptures together. We're praying together. We're fasting together. Something that fasting can also do is really sever addictions to alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography, or other hidden sin. Fasting really is like spiritual draino. You know, Brad came up here, and that was a great word that Brad had towards the end of worship there about really making ourselves a slave of God. And so what we're doing, a fast, really we're saying, look, I'm not a slave to this anymore. I surrender to God. I am going to tell my body what to eat and when to eat. And if you choose and it works best for you depending on your schedule, maybe you go and you skip breakfast and lunch, but then you're going to eat dinner. Now look, don't wrap all three meals into one and just pig out all night long. That is not a fast. All right? It doesn't work. If you choose to do something like that, then skip breakfast, skip lunch. Maybe you want to drink a Powerade. Drink water no matter what. I recommend, unless you've fasted before and the Lord is speaking to you, to do a fast with no water, all right, which occasionally is good to do, but don't do it for more than a day unless you've done this before and you're in really tune with your body. But you should drink water. Drink lots of water. Maybe you're not a water drinker. Start drinking water. You'll need to, especially if you start to eliminate foods, it'll help flush toxins out. I'm just being practical this morning. We're all going to do this together, and you are going to become more spiritually in tune than you've ever been. If you take this serious and do something and allow Holy Spirit to speak to you and what it is he wants you to do, and again, it's not about one-upping the next person. It's not saying, well, I went so many days and I did it. Look, this is between you and the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, when you fast to be seen by men, you have your reward. And let me just say this, it's not much of a reward. Because most people will be like, oh, and you're something, aren't you? So that's not much of a reward. But if you fast to the Lord, he will reward you openly. He will bless you with his presence. He'll bless you with direction. People say, well, why are we doing 21 days? Really, the reason really is best just to establish a habit. There's really no scientific evidence that 21 days establishes a habit. A lot of people say it, but there's really nothing that shows that 21 days is a magical number. But it works. People have done it before. We're kind of used to it. So that's what we're doing. Again, we are establishing a lifestyle to experience surrender, to experience passion for God, to experience God's goodness. Look what it says here. Hosea 10, verse 12. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Hosea 10, 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. What we're doing is we're breaking up the hard parts of our heart. You say, well, I'm a believer, Pastor. I can't have a hard heart. Yes, you can. Your heart gets hard in certain areas to certain truths in God's word. And so by fasting, what we're doing is we're telling our body what we're going to do or not do. We are directing our life, taking time to be with Father God. Now, there's some things that you're going to need for this fast. Number one, you're going to need your Bible. You need a Bible. You need a reading plan. I suggest we all use the same reading plan, at least for the 21 days. I think we should use the same plan all year. But if you got one you like, that's fine. Again, this is not legalistic. We're taking time to get alone with God. Maybe morning works for you to take that time to get alone with God. Maybe afternoon works. Maybe evening works good for you. I think morning is smart if it works, if you can make it work. Morning it's a great way to start your day. So you'll need a Bible, you need a reading plan. I think you should have a journal or at least something to write on. And then most importantly, you're taking time for reading the Bible, for meditation, and for prayer. So what we're doing is we're setting aside time. And listen, don't just say, well, I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. No, you're not going to. Just don't. Now, if you read a lot and you can knock that off and really get something out of it, great. But if all you do is, okay, 10 chapters for 21 days, and then you just stop reading your Bible the rest of the year, you just wasted 21 days. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're better off taking a little bit and maybe reading a scripture. I know, you know how many times we read a scripture? We'll just take, for example, that one we read today on tithing. We read that and say, I just don't believe that. Well, why? You just choose to believe some parts of the Bible? Like, I want to believe that I'm saved, but I don't want to believe that God wants to do something with my life. I don't want to believe that God actually wants something out of me. The Bible says one of the things that the Word of God is for is instruction and correction. The Bible says in Proverbs to stay away from the adulterous woman, and most of us would say, well, I'm not having an affair. Well, why don't you ask Holy Spirit what the adulterous woman is for you? And that's how we should be reading the Bible, is allowing God to start to speak to us through His Word. What is it, God, that you want to do through me as I take this time to set aside for you? Again, we are creating space for God to fill. Choose a time, choose a place where you're going to hear God speaking to you. I think it's important that we read daily. Again, doing a little bit each day, asking God to give us something, writing that down. I mean, you would be better off taking one scripture and say, okay, I'm not sure exactly what that means to me, but Holy Spirit, would you show me? And maybe you don't get it, but you've taken your half hour, your 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hour, whatever you decide to do in the morning, and you don't quite have it, then you write down, okay, Lord, I'm expecting an answer. And you take that scripture and just meditate on that all day long. And you take lunch and say, okay, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm meditating on this scripture. I guarantee you, if you do that, Holy Spirit will start to speak to you. Holy Spirit will start to speak to you. So maybe then you'll have a little bit for dinner. Maybe you'll just eat real light for dinner, but then you won't play that video game or you won't watch TV and you'll go back to that scripture. Are you with me? And we're establishing a lifestyle. We're establishing a lifestyle not to look holy before men. Listen, fasting will not make you more holy. Could make you more godly, but you're as holy as you're ever going to get. Jesus made you holy. All right? You and I should be reading with expectation. Believe that God is going to speak to you through His Word. Be prepared to do something with what He shows you. There's a gentleman who wrote a book. His name is Wayne Cadero. He wrote a book called Divine Mentor. And he puts something in there when he talks about prayer. And he calls it, it's really prayer and reading. He calls it the SOAP method, S-O-A-P. S for Scripture, O for Observation, A for Application, and P for Prayer. And for S for Scripture, he says, you should read prayerfully. Take notice of a scripture that catches your attention. Mark it in your Bible. Reread it and then write it in your journal. O for Observation. Focus on Scripture. Tune in and listen. What stands out? Ask Holy Spirit for direction. Listen, allow the Holy Spirit to do the ministry that Jesus sent Him for. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will speak nothing of His own, but the things He's heard me and the Father speak, He's going to speak unto you. Holy Spirit has a specific ministry to Christians, and so many Christians don't ever allow Him to speak to them. A is for application. How does this verse apply to my life? Again, we've already talked a little bit about that. Is there an instruction, an encouragement? Now, we hate instruction, don't we? We hate correction. You know, we just say, bless me, God, bless me, God. You know, it's the scripture I says, if you'll do this, then God will do this. Usually it's something we have to obey in, and then will have a reward. If you seek me diligently, you'll find me. If you set aside time to seek me in the secret place, I will reward you openly. So there's always a part we have to play. P is for prayer. Talk to God about it. That could be thanking Him or asking Him for greater insight. Remember, prayer is about relationship. It's a two-way conversation. Stovall Weems in his book, Awakening, said this, don't try to figure everything out. Just create some space for God. God is a filler, not a forcer. We're creating space for God. Okay, God is not going to force anything on you. You're creating space, allowing Him to fill it. If you want some additional help, a couple of good websites are www.crosswalk.com or www.biblegateway.com. We've got Bible Gateway right on our website, but two things that really help you out in your prayer time. Different types of fast. We've talked a little bit about this, but again, I think we should skip some specific foods. We should skip certain activities. Maybe you want to do a juice fast. Maybe you want to do a water fast. Maybe you want to do a partial total fast. There's something called a Daniel fast. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what we're really doing together is what I think we would consider a group fast. We're fasting together. We're seeking God. We're taking a portion of time to pray over the church, to read scripture. The most important thing is you say, well, Pastor, how do we pray? I want you to just seek God and ask him to show you how to pray. You know, if you want to be part of a prayer team, we have things that we send out to certain people to pray over the church weekly. We'd be happy to, if that's something you want to do. But what we really want you doing is starting to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. Right? You're better praying really for one thing that Holy Spirit shows you than a bunch of different things that you're just rambling on and on about. Hello. All right? But a group fast. Let's look at one that I like in the Bible. Jehoshaphat calls for a fast. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it says this. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others that were with them besides the Ammonites came to the battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, how many have ever felt afraid? Just be honest. How many have ever felt fear? We all face that. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, healthy mind. But we do feel fear sometimes. But the thing I like about this, it says Jehoshaphat feared about what he was about to face, but something he did that you and I should do is he set himself to seek the Lord. If you sense doubt, if you sense fear, if you don't feel like your faith is where it should be, you and I should make it a habit to seek the Lord. Verse 4, he says, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. We're seeking the Lord together. And what's going to happen is it's going to build unity. It's going to break fear off of our lives. It's going to give us new boldness. It's going to give us victory as we head into 2014 and beyond. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, it says, they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. If you want to have a life that is established, if you want to have a life that is prosperous, believe the word of God. As you read the word, as you fast, as you pray, as you take time to set aside to the Lord, start to circle things in your Bible. Start to underline things. Start to take notes in church. Start to pick up the notes that we hand out and start to read those things and start to seek God and ask God what he wants you to do, not only in 2014, but every year from here forward. Reading the Bible is a huge part of fasting. Listen, if you just skip meals, you're just going to be hungry. This is not a diet. It's not a diet. Now, you may learn some things that would be something you can take into a diet for yourself, but that's not what this is, all right? And finally, in verse 21, he says, and when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and praise the Lord, he sent ambushes against them, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir who to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And so what we see here is such a perfect picture of what happens when we pray and we fast. Now we've come and we said, Lord, we need your help. We need strength from you. And what ends up happening is not only does the Lord defeat our enemies battle with one another, and you and I just focus on the Lord, and he defeats the enemy on our behalf. The Bible says that Jesus has given us the victory. So what you see here is it brought deliverance. Through this fast, you're going to feel deliverance. You're going to be set free of things that have oppressed you. You're going to have things that have been habits that are going to start to fall off. Maybe you've had addiction problems, whether it's alcohol or drugs or pornography. It's going to start to fall off. Strongholds will be destroyed. So we're going to be doing a group fast. Some other fasts would include total fast, which is no food or water. A couple of examples in the Bible. We're not going to turn there, but Esther chapter 4. Esther fasted for 3 days. And when she fasted, she received favor with the king. She received a divine plan or wisdom from God, and she received total deliverance for her people. fasting for 3 days. Paul the Apostle fasted for 3 days, recorded in Acts chapter 9. His results were he received his call from God and he received healing for his eyes. And then, of course, the no pleasant food fast. I'm not going to read it, but in Daniel chapter 10, we see where it says Daniel didn't eat any pleasant food for about 21 days. Now, this is only one fast that's recorded with Daniel. He also went 10 days where he ate nothing but vegetables and drank water. And that's a whole other thing. Really, what he was doing was saying, look, we are not going to eat foods that are offered to idols. He was saying, we're not going to eat the king's food, because understand that Daniel was a Jew. And so there was a certain way to eat. And the way that they were eating under the king was not the way Jews would eat. He said, no, just bring us vegetables and water. But what he did is he took time to seek the Lord. And that's the key to our fast. Now, there's some helps on our website. If you go to our website, the main page, there's some banners that kind of go through the main part of the page there. Click on that. It'll take you to a page where you'll see a list of those items. Go to the fast one. Click on it. It'll take you to some other links. One of those links is the Daniel fast, information on Daniel fast. Another one is take you to Bill Bright's website that teaches you 7 ways to have a successful fast. Both of those are good. Here's the thing with the Daniel fast, and I've kind of watched this over the past 10 years. The Daniel fast has become, well, I look at some of the recipes that you can do on Daniel fast, and I think, I don't even eat that good all year. Why would I do that for a fast? I'm serious. It is really, now there's some good things in there, and maybe it'll work for you, but I cannot say this enough. Regardless, if you do nothing but eat less and cut out certain types of food like junk foods, maybe don't eat so much meat, cut back on proteins, cut back, maybe just don't go back for seconds. Come on. We'll just take time and set aside, maybe drink only water. Maybe you feel like you can have a cup of coffee or part of a cup of coffee. If you take 21 days and just kind of wean yourself off things, listen, you've had a successful fast. Don't jump out tomorrow and say, that's it, I'm not drinking coffee for 3 days. You'll have a headache and you will not pray. Take a few days. Take your time. Maybe it'd be best for you to skip dinner. Maybe you're working in a way, maybe you have a physical job and you need that energy. Look, don't set out, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that, and you're miserable for 21 days. That is not what a fast is. God is trying to teach us how to get into a fast zone, a place where we make time for him and start to live out of that. And if you make it a point to cut out certain foods, fasting from certain foods, eating less, perhaps skipping meals, maybe taking a certain number of days and just do liquids or whatever. Whatever you choose to do. Again, there's lots of information. We've got information at the table in the back and on the website. Whatever you choose to do. If you do that, what's going to happen is you'll be able to tell. If you go a week eating a certain way, I guarantee you, if you clean some things up, you stop drinking soda pop, you take all the junk food out, you eat smaller portions, cut back on meat, eat more fruits and vegetables reasonably, maybe get some tips on the Daniel fast, start to eat that way. If you came to Friday or Saturday and pigged out on a bag of Doritos, you would feel it. Do you understand me? And you'd be like, oh boy, I don't feel quite in tune with God like I was. You'll get this. That's what God's teaching us. Please understand what a fast is. It is not trying to prove something. And if you don't want more of God, then don't fast. Just eat the way you're eating and have your life, I guess. But every one of us needs to go closer to God. Every one of us needs to sense more of God in our lives. Every one of us. And what will happen is out of this, you'll find out you're going to start to eat differently. You're going to start to pray differently. You're going to incorporate into your weekly regimen certain days perhaps that you eat nothing and just drink liquids, maybe several times a month, because you're going to sense, wow, I am hearing God's voice and I feel good physically and this is great. And you're not going to want to change it. All right. A few things and then we'll let you go here. When you fast, you are going to be tempted. Jesus fasted for 40 days and the Bible said he was tempted. You will be tempted. You will sense things trying to draw you away from your time with God. Resist those. The Bible said when you're tempted that it's your own desires that lead you away. It says resist those. And we'll talk more about this over the next few weeks. Make up your mind to succeed. Make up your mind today. Maybe just take today and pray about what it is God would have you to do. Most of you probably haven't even started yet today. A few of you knew we were starting, but we haven't talked about it a lot. And that's okay. You didn't miss anything. Kick it off today. Take today. Pray about what it is that God wants you to do. Get all your junk food. Bring it to me for my Super Bowl party. But make up your mind to succeed. Pick something. Maybe you can sit down in your marriage and say, you know what? We can take one night and not have dinner and pray, turn the TV off, and see what God says. Maybe that'll be a fast 3 times in the month for you. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. Let Holy Spirit do something that works for you and your family. But then don't stop there. Keep going. Start where you are. Take time and consider. Take into consideration whether or not you've fasted before. Not out to set any records here. Take into consideration your physical condition. Find your fast zone. Again, different fasting combinations work better for different people. It's a place where you feel most spiritually in tune. So that's why I recommend, if nothing else, you take a portion of a day or a day and really do it different. Like I say, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and drink water. If you would just take 1 to 3 days and just eat fruits and vegetables and drink water, I guarantee you, you would start to hear God differently. I absolutely, 100% guarantee you, especially us Americans and most of our diets. Begin and end fast. Again, that's why I'm teaching the way I am. Prepare yourself. Maybe you take this week to prepare. Then you fast next week in certain ways and then kind of finish it up the 3rd week. I don't know. But again, get something you can take into 2014. Don't just get this thing done and then say, oh, that's it, day 22. I'm going over to Wendy's and I'm getting me a couple of them triples and some curly fries. And what's the largest Frosty you got? Or maybe you just skip all that and say, I'm going to go to Outback and get me one of them blooming onions. I'm going to tell you, if you go to Outback and eat a blooming onion on day 22, you will be Outback. All right? You will. And they'll ask you to clean it up. When you change your diet this way, you are cleaning your body out of toxins. So you're going to feel different. So it's best to prepare and then ease yourself out of it. Does that make sense? Understand, we are making space. Say, making space for God. That's what a fast is about. Get all the tools that you need. Ask questions. We want to help you to have a successful fast. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe I'm talking this way and you're thinking, wow, I can know God this way? Absolutely, you can. And God's got a great plan for your life. And it's not about a bunch of things that you have to do or not do. Christianity is not a bunch of works. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ and His Father. And His Father is your Father. And so you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Or maybe you're here and you prayed at one time, but you know you're far from God. We want to pray for you too. So don't let this day, this morning pass. When you should have lifted your hand, when you should have got some prayer, would you come back to Christ this morning? Would you receive Him for the first time this morning? He takes you just the way you are because He loves you. He made you that way. You're His son. You're His daughter. And so today, you can receive Him as your Savior. So if you want to know that you're on your way to heaven and you want Jesus to reveal the plan for your life that He's got for you, on the count of three, I want to see your hand. 1, 2, 3. Lift it up quick. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I see that hand. Anybody else say, Pastor, pray for me? I see that hand. Just leave it up there. Just leave your hands up. Anybody else? So proud of you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to come back to Christ. I want to know that I'm born again. Right now, our ushers are quietly moving over to you that have your hands lifted. They're going to give you some information. It tells you about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. What I suggest you do is fill out the card on the inside of this packet. Turn it in at the information center so we can pray for you by name. Take the information on the inside and read it. It tells you what the Bible says about your relationship with Christ. Let's all pray together. Everybody, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin because I'm a sinner. I receive you as Lord of my life. Father God, I'm coming back to you I thank you that you love me, that you've got a great plan for my life. I turn my back on my old life. I'm not going to live for myself any longer, but I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you. What a great